We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You need to know what this is, too?
Yeah, I really do.
You don't know what this is?
No. I haven't even heard a voice yet, though. Chill on me.
Hey, Jeff, do we have to take his card?
Hold on. My card is unrevocable. I know what card y'all talking about. The card is unrevocable.
You don't know who this is?
B, he's still a baby, B.
I don't give a damn.
We moving in that time of the world, B.
Yeah, I know the song. I just don't. Can I get up more than
when
the chorus?
When I woke up this morning, could have sworn it was Judgment Day.
I have a favorite artist. I'm going to find out if you listen to this show. Who's my favorite artist?
Teddy Pendergrass.
The purple one, man.
Oh, is this Prince?
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Oh, well, come on, man.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. As you know, Finley is not here because he knows all the songs. But the brother over here don't know any damn song we put on from our genre. Linnell Willingham has joined us now on a bet here, I guess. Now, let's go straight to it. Sports betting has come to Maryland. Don't place that bet without checking with BetQL. BetQL analyzes every game to find you the most profitable betting opportunities. Get three free days of BetQL access by downloading the BetQL app or visiting BetQL.com. Mike, what's up, brother? How you doing?
Yeah.
Mike.
I have no words.
Come on, Mike.
Can you believe that this brother did not know?
I don't even know what to say.
He had a lucky guess with Run DMC earlier. He didn't know who that was. Then now he don't know who Prince is.
I guess, like, our family reunion's not a thing. Like, young fella never sat around,
no,
like, with the boom box, with the old hits playing. Like, what are we doing? Like, are we failing this generation? Like, I don't know. My kids know what it, like, he said, I haven't heard the words. Like, you heard those first few notes. You're supposed to know who that is.
Yeah, man. See, listen, JP and I one day was trying to do a comparison between Jeff and Linnell. Jeff, to me, is 25 million years ahead of Linnell now, just based off of those last two statements he made.
Yeah.
But you know what?
And the way he said, oh, my card's unrevocable.
It's revocable. He should be going right now. Send him back to the future. But anyway, man, two very good football games coming up this weekend. I read your article last night. You broke it down. And based on how each team can win this thing, from 49ers and the Eagles all the way to Kansas City and the Kansas City and the Cincinnati Bengals. Let's start off with the AFC. Joe Burrow seems to have the number of the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. Do you think it continues on, or is Patrick Mahomes going to come out of? Because you know when somebody's wounded, sometimes they come out fighting a different way. Will Pat come out with some miracle stuff?
Yeah, well, a lot is going to depend on his health and what he's able to do. Because, I mean, look, we saw him get the job done against Jacksonville. But Jacksonville is a team that, hey, they did really well to upset in the wild card round and get to this round. But they were not ready for, you know, the next round, for the divisional round. So going up against a team that's been there before, a defense that's more well-rounded, is going to be a challenge for Patrick Mahomes. I would love to see him win another one, but there's something about these Bengals, man. Mm-hmm. They have this edge, they have this swag to them, and they're ready to take this thing. They've got a huge chip on their shoulder because of the way that the NFL
gotta get the refunds,
right? You know, and so they are out to prove, like, hey, we weren't a fluke last year, and you messed up by thinking about this neutral thing and, you know, the neutral site and focusing all that attention like we weren't going to make it to this thing. And so, I mean, they've beaten them three straight times. Is the fourth time the charm? I don't know, but things do seem to match up really well for Cincinnati against this this Chiefs team.
Mike, I hear everything that everyone's saying about, you know, how Cincinnati has the number of the Kansas City Chiefs. And we give all the attention to this Bengals defense, but we just had Solomon Wilcots on, and I brought this up to him. This Chiefs pass rush this year, I know Chris Jones is the one that gets a lot of credit, but Carlos Dunlap is reinvented himself in playing good football. George Karloftis is getting to the quarterback off the edge. Frank Clark, they got a bevy of dudes that can get after the passer. I know Joe Burrow and his quick release is really what's got us all drooling right now, but do you think there's a shot with the attrition that Cincinnati is dealing with up front that Kansas City's defensive line is able to control the tempo of this game?
Well, I mean, that patchwork offensive line did not seem to struggle last week against Buffalo.
It's a different animal, though. I think Kansas City's pass rush is more formidable.
Right. They didn't have, you know, it would have been interesting to see if they had Von Miller, you know, what that Buffalo front would have been like. I do think that there's a chance for the Chiefs. I'm not counting them out completely. But, you know, the thing is they are able to spread out a defense, and then they're able to run the football, you know, create favorable looks and things. They're very balanced. And so that's going to put pressure on this defense front because, yes, they can get after the quarterback really well. Stopping the run is, you know, a challenge, and it's something that, you know, we've seen them kind of with mixed results. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how it is. Again, yes, Chris Jones is great, Frank Clark, a lot of those guys. But, again, when you're able to attack a defense in multiple ways, whether it's running the ball, whether it's passing the ball, you know, it just makes things that much more challenging for you. And we know that against the run, you know, that's something that the Chiefs, they will give up those yards, you know. And so that's why it's hard to say, like, you know, one way or the other, because I think that both of these teams are equipped to go out there and win games. But and win, you know, this showdown. But there's something about Cincinnati, and just because of the uncertainty of Mahomes and his effectiveness, if he can't move around and do all the wizardry like we've seen, I don't know.
This doesn't have to do directly with this game coming up, but everyone was talking about Josh Allen last year, like he's the next guy, and they were trying to move him past Patrick Mahomes. Could Joe Burrow be the guy moving up there? And, you know, I know we talk about these contracts a lot. We're going to discuss this later on. Joe Burrow is in his third year.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to start talking to him rather soon.
Yeah.
And I just watched the pivot the other day, and D. Smith was saying how the NFL hasn't had guaranteed contracts because the free agents coming out haven't demanded them.
Mm.
Can Joe Burrow kick that off? And then Pat Mahomes going to have to start doing some stuff coming up here soon. Can he be the next? And then those quarterbacks start saying, hey, we're not playing unless we get it, because we know they promote this league by the quarterbacks. And if it's ever going to be that rave going, they're going to be the guys to get it. But I look at Joe right now in a way where Joe is a young-looking dude, but he's savvy as hell under that young look.
Yeah, the way he plays, he does not play like a guy who's, you know, in his third or fourth year in the league. He has just got a confidence to him. Like you said, gets the ball really quickly. And this is going to show us right here. Where we think of Patrick Mahomes as the guy, as the elite young quarterback of this next generation right here. But Joe Burrow's beaten him three times now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he gets him right here, then maybe it's, you know, thank goodness for Patrick Mahomes that he got his Super Bowl before Joe Burrow, you know, and, you know, we're looking at Josh Allen, and he might be, you know, a guy like a, you know, when you think about those guys who are unfortunate to be in the same generation with some of these guys here who are
like
really great.
Played with Michael Jordan.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. The Reggie Millers, the Patrick Ewings, you know, the Clyde Drexlers, you know, that might be what Josh Allen is.
Mike, I want to look at the NFC Championship matchup. San Francisco traveling to the link to take on the red-hot Eagles. Do you think this is the week that the other shoe drops, so to speak, for Brock Purdy? He has come out and exceeded everyone's expectation as Mr. Irrelevant and leading this group to the playoffs. San Francisco, I believe they won eight straight to close out the regular season, or they're currently on an eight-game winning streak.
Mike, they haven't seen anything like this Philadelphia Eagles pass rush, though.
No, they haven't, and that's why it's going to be really important for them to be able to run the football, set the tone early, and keep these Eagles defenders from being able to pin back their ears and get after Brock Purdy. You know, Kyle Shanahan is going to – he's one of the best strategic coaches that's in the league. He's going to find the weakness of that defense, and part of it is stopping the run, as Washington showed against this team here. He's going to throw all kinds of different formations and position groupings to put them in unfavorable positions and try to create opportunities in the run game, because he knows he's got to ease pressure on Brock Purdy. Now, thing is, they have a very good secondary as well. So, you know, this is probably the toughest defense that Purdy has gone up against. You know, we saw him last week against Dallas. I thought Dallas had a great game plan. And
yeah,
really, if their offense could have been able to do anything other than throw the ball to the wrong team, then maybe they would have won that game. You hold, you know, the 49ers to 19 points with all the weapons that they have, you should win that game. So we'll see what happens here. Again, yes, toughest challenge so far, but each week Brock Purdy seems to find a way, but it's also because he doesn't have to do too much. He's got Christian McCaffrey. He's got Deebo Samuel. He's got Trent Williams in front of him. He's got, you know, Brandon Ayuk. He's got George Kittle. He's got so many weapons and that great defense that he just has to play his role. And because of that, he just, man, that kid just slings the ball. He fits the ball into tight spaces. You know, we see him play with more and more confidence. So I think this is going to be a really, really good game.
Who's the most pressure on, I would say, at quarterback? Now, I mean, Brock has all those weapons. He can just sit back and just deliver the football. But the Eagles' offense works when they have a Jalen Hurts in there. Jalen came back, and they won 38-7 two years in a row in that divisional game. And right. He looks like he's completely back. If he's completely back, is pressure on him to make sure they get over the hump, or is it on their defense?
I do think there is pressure on him because he is, you know, like they say, the straw that stirs the drink. Everything keys off of him. Now, yes, the defense has got to provide that backing, but he's got to go out there and, you know, this is a really tough defense that he's going up against.
Yeah.
You know, the 49ers are among the best out there. And so if you're Brock Purdy, yes, you know, you want to go out there and you do well, and you, but you've got all these veterans that you're leaning on. Now, the good thing, the Eagles were very smart. They gave him A.J. Brown to go with Devontae Smith. They've got Dallas Goedert. They got Miles Sanders, 1,000-yard rusher, 2,000-yard receivers. So it's not like he's working with nothing, but a lot of it does center on him, and, you know, he's got those expectations. So I do think there's a good amount of pressure on him.
Is this the best offense that San Francisco has faced? Because you look at them, like you said, 2,000-yard receivers, 1,000-yard running back, and a quarterback who can get in the end zone as often as anybody else.
Yeah, this is, you know, as far as the what they've seen is the NFC, definitely so. Now, they did see San Francisco did play the Chiefs and lost to them. What was it? I think it was like 45-25 or something like that during the regular season. So they've this defense has gone up against some tough, you know, challenges. They ran up against the Bengals and fell short against them. So this is probably the most well-rounded offense that the 49ers have gone up against, because when you think about the Chiefs, you know, that's so centered on Mahomes, and, you know, the Bills, they were able to, you know, I mean, the Bengals, they, you know, so we'll see. But it's going to make for a great storyline, great chess match between these two teams. So I'm looking forward to it.
Do you think the way that these two rosters have been constructed, Mike, really proving and going against the notion that you need a first-round quarterback to have success, do you think we'll start to see more teams try to emulate this formula and insulate the roster around a mid-round quarterback so you don't have to spend all that money?
Well, I mean, look, if you have the opportunity to get an elite quarterback, you're going to do that. But it does show you that, okay, you just, if you set the table right and really make sure you have a quality offensive line, a quality defense, and build around that guy, you can position him for success. You know, and I do think that, you know, Brock Purdy has something special. There were a lot of, you know, talent evaluators that got something wrong, that missed something on him.
Definitely.
I'm not saying that, you know, we've seen Kyle Shanahan get a lot out of multiple quarterbacks. But, you know, you can't just count on you can't be, you know, Washington and think, okay, let's just draft somebody in the seventh round and just, you know, put them in there, expect them to do something. You know, this is a really good and I think unique situation here. But it does show, yes, you can't be too reliant on the quarterback. And but if you look at, you know,
look at the AFC,
Cincinnati, right? Right. Those AFC teams, they all have elite young quarterbacks, but they still built around them. They didn't just throw them out there and expect those guys to work miracles. They gave them, you know, a Ja'Marr Chase. They gave them Stephon Diggs. You know, they gave them, you know, all kinds of weapons, you know, in Kansas City. So, yeah, you got to surround any of your quarterbacks and hope that you have a system, a smart offense coordinator that can play to that quarterback's strengths and really meld things together.
Listen, I look at Kansas City, okay, and this is a question. When we look at, we always talk about the quarterbacks. We talk about the top-notch defensive player, but I'm looking at this little kid, Pacheco, over there in Kansas City. They lose Tyreek Hill. He comes in, doesn't look like they missed anything. You know what I'm saying? And he's a 6th, 7th round pick too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yep.
So it's good. Like, would you see him as like that unsung hero dude of the all of this? Because, I mean, he can get it done in multiple ways.
Yeah, I do see that because, remember, they were hoping that Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to be ready to roll and be that guy. He gets hurt. And then what do? You wind up turning to this rookie. And, you know, he finished with, you know, 800 and something rushing yards, I think 5 touchdowns. You know, he was a guy. And then as he's gone on, he's continued to get better. And, yes, that eases pressure on Mahomes. He can do it all. But when you have balance, that's the key. And because of the way that we've seen with them, yeah, they can pass and pass. But they also are better when they can keep the defense honest. And throw the run game in, you know, we see with San Francisco and Philly, they use the run game to set the tone and then pass off of it. The Chiefs start with the pass game and then they have a nice change up with the run game. And Pacheco has been probably the most effective back that they've had since Kareem Hunt, I think.
I want to take things off of the championship game for a second. We just had news coming before we started this segment that Nathaniel Hackett going to be the offensive coordinator for the New York Jets this year. I know a lot of people instantly starting to connect the dots. About how they could acquire Aaron Rodgers potentially. Mm-hmm. What do you think of Rodgers' fit in New York with media lifestyle and just the way that Aaron has been known to carry himself? Do you think he'd be able to handle a situation like New York?
The dude loves attention and wears the spotlight brighter than New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be able to handle it because, you know, as we've seen the last 2 years, he's done all this like, oh, what am I going to do? What's Aaron going to do? And it's drama and it's questions about him constantly. So I don't think he'll have any problem with media scrutiny. I think he craves that. And so it'll be interesting to see. And I do think the Packers would prefer to trade him outside of the conference, you know, and here we are.
Does the Jets have enough to trade for him?
That's what we'll have to see. You know, are they willing to give up multiple first round picks to do this? Now, you know, you look at their roster; they have, you know, a lot of young talent. But is it enough talent to satisfy Aaron Rodgers and make him feel like he could win a Super Bowl with this group? I don't know. So that's also the thing. Like, okay, I think that they wanted somebody who has similarities to what they were running already. Nathaniel Hackett comes from the Matt LaFleur, which comes from Shanahan. Mike LaFleur was the offensive coordinator there who came from Kyle Shanahan. So that helps them. So don't just assume that it's just Aaron Rodgers, but it does make you start to wonder. But again, do they have enough to appease Aaron Rodgers? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the whole thing about it. You know, Linnell is ready to have a whole show about that whole topic. And I refuse to go there because I told him what's the biggest thing for me right now is the NFC Championship game, AFC Championship, and then the Super Bowl. After that, I'll talk about all that stuff all I want. But I don't think just because Hackett is going there, especially off of the year he just had, it's going to be so great for everybody. And then you got to notice, when you move to another area, you may not have all those pieces in place like you did when you had success.
Yeah, and the other thing about Hackett is, okay, so he wasn't a play caller in Green Bay. He showed that he's not a good play caller in Denver because he wound up having to give up play calling duties and things didn't get better. So now you're hiring him to be your play caller in New York. Mm. I don't know, man. I mean, that almost feels kind of like a desperate move, hoping that you get Rodgers. But Are you, you know, if you don't get Rodgers, is this the guy that can take your offense to another level? I don't know. I like the guy as a person. Spent some time with him, smart guy. But he just looked like he's in over his head a little bit.
All right, well, Mike, give me a prediction. Who is going to win the AFC Championship game? Who's going to win the NFC Championship game?
My heart says Kansas City wins the AFC. My head is telling me Cincinnati. My heart is telling me San Francisco. My head is telling me Philly.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate you, man. We're going to see what your heart says. If you're going to see, we're going to follow. Yep. Next time I talk to you, see if I'm going to follow your heart or your head. And, Mike, I owe you some gumbo, man. So next time I cook gumbo, I got to give you a call and I'll make sure we connect to drop it off to you.
Please, let me please. I will come to you wherever it is. And hey, go play some Prince for this young man, please.
Yeah, he didn't know who Prince and what DMC was. All right, Mike. Take care, man. Appreciate you.
All right, Mike.
That's Mike Jones joining us from Athletic. And you know what? Mike just told you what his head and his heart is going to do. So it's time for you all to think about your head and your heart. So, hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. NFL Conference Championships are this Sunday, and you can enjoy more drills than a two-minute drill on FanDuel. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account, because they're giving all customers a no-sweat same-game parlay. That means you'll get free bets back if your conference championship same-game parlay does not hit. Bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to which player will score a touchdown. Or if you can't decide, you can ride with thousands of other fans and bet the popular same-game parlays already made for you. If you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code Brian, that's B-R-I-A-N, to see for yourself why it's America's number one sportsbook. And if you already have FanDuel, you can start building your no-sweat same-game parlay today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old or present in Virginia. 3-plus legs, minimum $1 bet required. Refund issued as a non-withdrawable free bet that expires 7 days after receipt. Max bonus is $5 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Gambler. B-Mitch Finley is presented by John Leahy and the Fine Living Group. Let the MVP of DMV Real Estate sell your home for more. Visit johnsellsdmv.com. I actually love talking to this dude in the breaks because Linnell comes out with some different things. Sometimes we agree. Most times we disagree. But Linnell has been wanting to talk about this quarterback situation and which way is the proper way. Whether you sign a vet or you go with a young quarterback. And I think that situation, there is no straight answer on it.
Right.
It goes based off of where your team is at that point. Do you have a team that's good enough, like San Francisco,
right,
to be able to hold up with a young quarterback? But think about what happened with San Francisco. They had traded for a guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Traded for Garoppolo initially, yeah.
Then they go and make a trade and draft way up mm-hmm. for Trey Lance. But the seventh pick, the last pick of the seventh round is your quarterback right now. Why? Because Christian McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell, Kittle, yep. okay.
Trent
is over there.
Ayuk,
we got Debo Samuel. We got Ayuk. Yeah, I can get a less of a quarterback that has experience.
I understand it works both ways.
He played 4 years.
Correct.
So he comes out with a level of experience and IQ that we don't understand, because that same kid went toe-to-toe against Jalen Hurts when Jalen Hurts was at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They lost 42-41
right.
to Jalen Hurts' team. Now, what happens is we have gotten accustomed to young quarterbacks coming out of school, and they come out after playing 1 year as a starter, possibly 2 years as a starter.
Yeah, at the max, yeah.
We don't see many of them playing four, because when they're that good, the leagues start pulling them. So what happens now when you got a little NIL money, which you were talking about? If the guy says, well, I don't have to leave right now because I'm at this school, I'm the top dog, he may be pushing seven figures.
Right.
NIL. I can stay in college an extra year, get me a little bit more experience, and then what if a team that was looking for a quarterback that went and got a veteran guy and they fail, didn't do well, I come out, I get drafted fourth, fifth round,
mm-hmm.
and I show up and I become a Kirk Cousins or a Russell Wilson.
It's possible.
You know, those things can happen. I just think that it's not a one-stop shop where you got to go young or you right. got to go old. It's wherever your team is situated at that moment.
I'm saying from this perspective, if you're a GM and you just got hired and you're inheriting a group, what would be your preferred route, or do you think it truly is dependent on what you already got?
If I'm a GM and I rolled in and –
Let's draw the scenario. We don't make it real. You got a top five pick.
We don't, and I got a top five pick, and my team is ready to roll. And I see a guy that can sling it around in college right now, and he's coming from a offense where he had to read some defense. I'm drafting him. You know why? Because I can also, when I draft him, I can do just like Kyle. Kyle had a late round pick,
right?
When they got Purdy. I can go and get, if I got top five pick, so this guy can spin it.
Mm-hmm.
I now have him on a rookie contract for the next 4 to 5 years, basically. Mm-hmm. 4 years, if he showed me great, then I'm going to give him a new contract. But I have the chance now for the next 4 years to go add some pieces that are going to help him be even better. What has happened so much in the NFL where we go draft a young quarterback, the team is average as hell.
Yeah.
And we want him to come in and be the savior.
We want him to be Superman.
So I'll ask this question. If Kyle Shanahan had drafted Justin Fields in San Fran, are we saying Justin Fields, oh, man, people talking about they should draft Bryce Young up in Chicago. Are we saying that right now? Are we saying, man, Justin Fields going to be the first guaranteed contract. He going to come and get him a guaranteed contract like Deshaun Watson.
Right.
It's where you fall and what you have. And the veteran quarterback, okay? I can have a team sitting in there, and I know we need another receiver. We need maybe another defensive player. So I look at the veteran quarterback. He's going to cost me $40 million or $35
million. Right.
The rookie may come in, and I'm – let's say – if he's a late round guy, I'm gonna have to give him a little signing bonus and give him a base salary of $700,000+. The dude makes $1 million+. I can go build the whole damn team and make him look better, because the statement I said earlier, quarterback, most dependent position in football, in all the sports, I think.
Yeah.
So when we look at these teams and say, oh man, that quarterback, he makes it happen by himself. No, he don't. Tom Brady get blocked for.
Correct.
Although the offensive line isn't great with Burrow right now, that offensive line blocks like SOB when it comes down to the running game. So now what you have to do on defense, you slow down.
Yeah.
And what does he do? He gets the ball out of his hand quick. So if you hesitate, now he works. The offensive line don't have to be great at that moment.
But with that team-building philosophy, I think it's much harder to draft and select a franchise quarterback than it is to draft the pieces around him, right? It's much more difficult to draft a quarterback than it is to draft those insulating pieces. For one, you got more than one way to bring in help for the quarterback. You can draft him. You can use your salary cap money in free agency. For me, I just don't think we've seen enough of a track record to say, hey, look, the veteran route is more sustainable. Because teams try it. Even like San Francisco is the funniest example because, like you said, they literally tried to
they
do
did it
both every
ways,
way.
And they both ways worked.
Exactly. And they ultimately
ended up. Now, hold on. I'll hit you with this. Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Who is arguably the best quarterback ever.
No question.
He went to a team, the veteran quarterback, an aging veteran quarterback.
Correct.
He went to Tampa when Tampa was what? Already loaded.
Correct. That's what I'm saying.
So no matter how you do it, your team better be over the hump.
I just think even with Tampa's situation, would they have been better suited with a young guy that can give you sustained success? Because look at Brady. Yes, he got there and won him a Super Bowl, but his time's about to be up. It ain't even been four years
but, yet. But think about this. Tom Brady rolled in already knowing how to play.
Correct.
And he had a loaded team. That young quarterback, just like JP was saying yesterday about Bryce Young, how great he is now. I said, that's the same thing they said about Justin Fields last year. So he went back and he checked Justin Fields' stuff. Justin Fields completed 78, almost 80% of his damn passes.
It's easy in college.
In college.
Right.
So if you come to this league, that kid can still be good if you have an offensive coordinator who understands how to make it easier for him, take pressure off of that quarterback. But when Tom rolled down into Tampa, Tom didn't have to know nothing about this league. He knows this league.
And the team was already ready made.
The team was loaded.
That's the thing.
So the young quarterback might come in, and he's going to have some struggles early on. Then again, he may not. But the problem is when you draft a young quarterback, top five, top ten, you are normally a sucky team.
Correct.
Okay?
Unless you trade
up. You lost last year.
Right.
You lost. That's why you're in the top ten picking.
Exactly.
And when you pick that guy, we are in a microwave society. So when we draft that guy, we bring him in, and he hears it. Every fan is saying, man, you our guy, number one pick, he's going to take us to the promised land. That guy has all that pressure. He has to be the savior. Listen, I don't care which round you draft the guy. When he comes in, I would say treat him more or less like he's just a part of the crew.
Then he is the savior.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. If you treat him like
but
that.
But I think that's what separates the dogs and the ones who deserve these $50 million contracts from the regular pedestrians. Because Joe Burrow came in and they didn't have anything in Cincinnati.
But
he took him to the Super Bowl.
But that's how life works, okay? If you are in the IT business right now, mm-hmm. And you're working at this company that they're IT and things of that nature. Let's say you're in that business, and all of a sudden, you're coming from a company that they've had the last people that were the best, and they went to this space. That guy got $500,000 to go to this place. Another guy got $525,000. You're number three coming up. They're not gonna give you $100,000. You're going to get 500 some thousand too. You know why? Because they're going to assume that you're just like them because you came from a certain area.
Right.
So that's how life works. So once you get to the place, you might not be producing. But you already got your 4-5 year deal signed.
You're ready to roll.
And you're going to get it. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's how life, it plays it like that. But ultimately, you have to give, I don't give a damn who the quarterback is. He has to have help.
Of course.
Ronald McDonald is the only guy I saw can throw a ball, bat it, be the catcher, and also catch it outfield on a commercial.
Right.
Okay? Quarterbacks can't do that, no matter how good they are.
I think the question is how much help do some of these dudes need? Because I think if you're making $50, $60 million like Aaron Rodgers is trying to do, you're basically conceding the help that you're asking for. I just wonder, are we going to see a philosophical change in how
Aaron
we build
Rodgers
teams
fault.
Moving forward?
That's not Aaron Rodgers' fault.
It's not.
Fault.
The market was set.
The league's fault is to come out and say that the quarterback can make the highest percentage of the salary. That's what the league set up. Why did they set that up? Because the league set it up for the – who do they promote the league with? The quarterbacks. Okay?
Yeah.
And at one point, the quarterback was only a certain criteria. Now it's getting to a different thing.
Yeah.
So now it's coming to the point where, oh, it's a problem now that certain guys are making money when they probably shouldn't. But let's look at it. Every quarterback is not the best player on the damn football
no,
team.
No, they're not. And that's what I want to get into next. I think we have a crisis at quarterback.
On some teams, D lineman can be the best.
Yeah.
Running back can be the best. Receiver can be the best. But the way that it's set up in that CBA, the quarterback gets more. That shouldn't automatically be the deal, but that's what the rules are. And if you have a kid that can throw the ball or catch it, tell him to become a quarterback because he'll get more money of it. See what I'm saying?
Look, I put him in baseball.
All right, we're going to take a break here because Linnell believes that there's a crisis going on with the quarterbacking that's coming out of college because of the NIL deals, name, image, likeness. I believe that it's going to help in the long run. He thinks it's going to be hurting. We're going to find out. Be Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. We'll be right back. If you're looking to buy a car, I'm going to tell you where you need to go. You need to go out to Orsman. They've been serving the customers in this area for well over 100 years. Orsman is conveniently located all around Northern Virginia. They sell all types of domestic and import vehicles, such as Toyotas, Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Jeeps, Dodges, Ram trucks, Chryslers, Chevrolets, Buicks, and GMCs. Listen, I mentioned the Kias earlier because my family, they love them, and I keep sending people over to Orsman Chantilly Kia. My buddy Bill over there, Billy and Chantilly, takes care of people. They offer you incredible deals, great selection, fantastic financing, and exceptional service. And it's all backed by the exclusive Orsman Lifetime Edge. With up to $1,500 in bonus extras, including complimentary car washes with every scheduled maintenance, loaner cars with every major maintenance, and the Orsman Lifetime Engine Guarantee. And if you bring any car into Orsman, they will buy it from you regardless of the make, the model, or the year. I told you all over and over again, I've sent people over there, and Billy took care of them. 6 cars, I think, or so in like the last 4 to 5 months. And I think, you know what? I got a lot of other people looking to get cars, and I know Billy's going to take care of them just like he would take care of me. They will pay you up to 125% of the Kelley Blue Book value if you have a pre-owned vehicle that you want to get or you want to trade in or you want to just sell. They'll take care of it for you. And as they like to say in Orsman, Virginia stores, let's ride together.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Be Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Before we left, we were talking about how Linnell believes that the NIL is going to affect the quarterbacking moving forward. Explain yourself, because I don't mind listening to new ideas if they make sense.
So our buddy Jason Lockenfor at the Washington Post put out an article a couple of days ago, and the headline reads that NFL franchises in need of a quarterback might face a difficult offseason, and Jason does a really nice job in this article outlining why that could be the case. So this is one quote
I'll listen
that I really want to hone in and focus on. And it says, this is from an anonymous GM across the league. It says, no one in media is really talking about this, but there's not going to be a middle class of quarterbacks in this draft upcoming. And that's really what I want to hone on. And he said, I counted like 19 kids who would usually at least think about declaring for school who have decided to stay in school.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, because we're losing that middle tier of quarterbacks this year, and the draft specifically, you're going to see a lot of boom or bust. And this is what we kind of started talking about earlier.
That's what the draft is already anyway, isn't it?
Of course. But I think you're going to see much more – you're going to see a more high variance now between – there's going to be less in-between guys. There's going to be less Sam Howells and guys who you think could be mid-rounders that'll be backups and things of that nature. Because of the NIL deals, and we were talking about this during the break, if I'm a third to sixth round quarterback prospect and I get told by my agent, hey, look, teams are talking about drafting you between the fourth and the sixth round.
Mm-hmm.
There are some guys that are projected to go in that range where depending on the school that they're at, the NIL money is so rich that it doesn't even make sense financially
for you to declare for the draft. That's a total assumption because
it's a case-by-case situation.
How many quarterbacks, we've heard people start dropping what certain quarterbacks are making.
Are getting, right.
Not many of them are making seven figures.
I think if you really go and look.
Not many of them are making seven figures. And the ones that are making seven figures are going to get drafted in the first two rounds for the most part. So, we're talking about the middle ground. Do they sign 32 quarterbacks a year in the middle ground to be a backup? No. A lot of teams already have their backups. And I love a lot of stuff that Jason wrote, but people that are looking for a quarterback are not drafting the middle tier.
Think about this, right? This is, let's look at Stetson Bennett.
Okay.
Who's
rich already. Go ahead.
Rich already, but if you look at where evaluators are placing him in this draft, Mel Kiper Jr. put out his mock. He's saying that teams have like a fourth or fifth round grade on him. His NIL money this year was $699,000. He's not going to make that.
And that's a lie. Because Stetson Bennett would get drafted in the fourth, fifth round. Stetson Bennett's a senior. He's leaving because he's leaving school. Mm-hmm. Okay. Stetson Bennett make the team on the roster. His rookie salary is going to be right at $685,000 to $700,000. Since he's a quarterback, he would get a boost on it. He may make $800,000 to $900,000 as a salary.
Right.
Okay. He's also going to get a signing bonus, a roster bonus, whatever else that his agent can sit up there and go for him. I came in a draft as a fifth round quarterback. They didn't expect to play quarterback. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of little stuff, little clauses that got me extra money. You think Stetson Bennett, who just won the championship, is not going to have extra stuff in there? So, he'll easily make that money.
So think about this. So it says right here, the pay scales for fifth rounders. The top fifth round pick gets a 4-year, $3.64 million deal. It's a salary of $698,000 annually.
Okay.
You look at this. There's a kid at Washington State by the name of Cameron Ward.
Uh-huh.
His NIL deal was $402,000.
Yeah.
I'm looking at Stetson Bennett's money. Just to use Bennett as the example. His money that he's making in his 1 year at Georgia.
It's $402,000.
No, it's $699,000.
Yeah.
That's more than what he would make getting drafted.
Dude.
And what's harder?
But going
to being an NFL professional or being a regular college kid on campus?
You're a college kid who has to go to class every day and maintain a great
point. He ain't going to no damn class.
He's going to class. See, listen to me, bro. If I'm about to go to the NFL and I'm going to be, and I make it as a backup quarterback on a football team, if my salary is $685,000, I probably got $300,000 to $400,000 to sign. Okay,
so I don't know what type of signing bonuses they're getting in the third round. So I'll look that up.
But I am not going to let's remember Stetson Bennett is gone from college now, so he's going to take that opportunity to play in the NFL.
There's a couple other names,
but Stetson Bennett still at the NFL level, he got the $607,000 salary, and as a quarterback, they're gonna get a little boost on that. Plus, he could sign in endorsement deals on top of it. You get what I'm saying? And the fact that he was so damn good in college, somebody that was doing an NIL deal is now going to lock to him as a professional player and give him a little bit more money. They don't lose money in that sense. Now, if you got a guy who's playing at a small school, who probably he's the one name in the town that's somebody, he probably won't get drafted anyway. So he's not going to go take a free agent opportunity.
This is my favorite example. The South Carolina quarterback, Spencer Rattler, who before last college football season started, people were talking about him being a top five pick. Mm-hmm. Had a terrible year, ends up having to transfer, had a stellar year this past year at South Carolina.
Yep.
He went back to school this year for his senior year. Like he's could have came out for the 2023 draft. He decided to go back. The NIL money is why. He's making $2 million this year. As an NIL quarterback, he would have been a projected third, fourth round pick.
But let's break it down a little bit on that, Linnell. See, I'm finding holes in your argument. If Spencer Rattler was coming out as a top five pick, he wouldn't have went back to school for that $2 million.
Right, I get that. What I'm saying is we're losing that middle crop of guys.
No, you're not necessarily losing the middle crop. Spencer Rattler was once a guy just like Sam Howell was. That was projected to go a certain area.
Right.
Sam Howell had to go back to school. Spencer Rattler had to go back to school because of not the NIL money, because of the rules. And then they went back to school. Now he's trying to come out. He go, oh, I'm going to be down the line. But The problem is, what if Spencer Rattler had come to the NFL?
This year?
Okay. Let me finish. And he had signed a contract with these clauses in it. So if he were to become a starter, he was to do this, he's going to get this kicker in certain things.
Of course.
Spencer Rattler might make more than $2 million.
But that's like, from a financial standpoint, I wouldn't be comfortable doing that because now I'm relying on things that I can't control. I could come in and be Spencer Rattler, and I could be better than the guy that I'm backing
up. You probably
up.
Could. You but probably could be.
The coaches but aren't going to play me because they don't think
they
I'm ready.
They may not. But the whole thing about it is, you could give me one guy making $2 million that went back to school. You need to give me a lot more people.
It's a couple dudes.
But a lot more people. But the ultimate thing, if those, like I said before, mm-hmm. if they are making that level of money, they are probably going to get drafted in first, second, third round, something like that, to where they will make their money up. So I don't think a guy going top three rounds is going to say, I'm going back to school because of. He had dropped down to fourth or fifth, did he not?
Correct.
Okay. But if they in the first, second, third, they are still going to that draft.
Oh, well, that you're not going to have to worry about.
And if Spencer Rattler gets drafted in the first or second round, his endorsement deals will overshadow the $2 million easily.
I think the conversation is more about the bottom tier guys. Because I obviously, for a Bryce Young and a CJ Stroud, if you're going to be a top five pick,
you're going
to come out. The
bottom tier guys are going to come into this league and get $685 as a base salary.
And for some of them, their NIL money in college is more than that.
I
so why come out?
I guarantee you most of them are not there.
I got the names pulled up right here. Do you know any of these quarterbacks? I didn't know. So if KJ Jefferson from Arkansas.
If you don't know them, they probably won't be getting drafted very, very high.
That's what I'm trying to say is we're losing our middle class between the third and sixth round, who make up most of the backups in the league right now, are third, fourth, fifth, sixth round picks.
But
you don't have a bunch of first round picks as
there
backup.
There are not 32 backup jobs open in the NFL right now. Not 32 jobs open.
I don't think we have enough good quarterbacks. That's ultimately the bigger problem.
It's still not 32 jobs open, young man. Be Richard Finley. We're going to take a break here. We get back. Oh, Lord. We're going to find out. Talk a little bit about which conference championship game is going to be better. AFC, NFC. I love both of them. And then at 12:30, Martin Bayless will join us. Played in Kansas City, also played a year here in Washington. We'll get his take on the AFC championship game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.